has a man in front of him, hurdles the defender.
Henry, diving,
and there is your devil.
The play of the season. Yeah!
It's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get the people what they want.
We didn't get to do it on Friday, but it is our College Colors Day here on Jalen and Jacoby, repping Michigan and NYU. Also today on Jalen and Jacoby, CJ McCollum is going to join us later. Can't wait to talk to him. But we start in the NFL, which starts tomorrow with a huge Thursday night matchup between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. We will focus on the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers. They won the Super Bowl, Jalen Rose. Can this Bucs team that returned all 22 starters repeat as Super Bowl champs?
Can they? Yes. Will they? No. Because it's just so hard to repeat. That's really the answer and the reason why. It's a physical sport. A lot of factors have to work in their favor. We know injuries always play a big factor. We don't know the type of factor COVID is gonna play overall, but when you return all 22 and one of them is Tom Brady, they are legitimately the best team we've seen recently have the opportunity on paper to get it done.
I think that's fair to say. Will they repeat as champions? No, I wouldn't predict that. However, they're my favorite to come out of the NFC. And one of the reasons is everybody talks about Tom Brady and Gronkowski. It's the defense. Their defense is overpowering. Vita Vea, JPP, Ndamukong Suh, and in my mind, the best interior linebackers in the entire league, which are Lavonte David and Devin White. White and David, two words that are often used to describe me. Now, of course, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl championship Bucks, but it's the Cowboys, and the Cowboys always get so much attention, even though they don't always go that far into the playoffs. Mr. Rose, what would be a successful season for the Cowboys this year?
First, I hope Dak can stay healthy. That's first and foremost. He missed basically almost all of last year, and he has some arm issues, shoulder issues at the beginning of the camp. Hopefully, he's healthy. If Dak can stay healthy, I anticipate their offense to be explosive. I truly do. So for me, what I consider realistic expectations for this year's Cowboys team is just win a playoff game. That's it. Win a division and win a playoff game. That's realistic expectations for me with this squad. By the way, a squad in the last 25 years hasn't been extremely successful in the postseason. You know, I told you once Jimmy Johnson curse was lifted and now he's in the Ring of Honor, they have a better opportunity to do a couple of the things I said. But these last 25 years, they've struggled, Jacoby. 4-10 in the playoffs. That's not good. That's not good.
4-10, only 7 division titles and 8 10-win seasons in the last 25 years for America's team. And their win-loss record looks closer to 500 than you would expect. Mr. Rose, as we head into the MVP season, the NFL season, there's some discussion about the potential MVP. Let's look at the odds. If you just look at who is favorite to win the MVP this season, the name up the top, Patrick Mahomes, as it is often. However, you and I both decided we're gambling legally this season and heavily. What do you think about What do you think about these numbers for the MVP favorites?
Shout out to Big Snow Jeezy and State Prop. Here's what I think, right? Patrick Mahomes is gonna dazzle us. And we know the Kansas City Chiefs are playing in fast forward. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, likely final seasons in Green Bay. They're gonna be trying to scorch the earth, right? And then you got the young upstarts like Justin Herbert. And then we got your guy, Josh Allen. So many candidates, right? I'm gonna go with the person I would bet on. Russell Wilson. He's never gotten a vote. He's never gotten a vote. They're explosive. Carson's hopefully healthy, right? Metcalf, Lockett, they're gonna put up big numbers. I would bet on Russell Wilson. I think that's the best money.
If you did bet on Russell Wilson, you would get 18 to 1 in return. So if you bet $100, you will get $1,800 back, Mr. Rose. Well, you know what? This MVP race is already over. It's Josh Allen's. Josh Allen's winning the MVP. The Bills are winning the Super Bowl. Josh Allen is winning the MVP. You know what's going to happen. They went to the AFC Championship last year. They're going to get over that hump, beat the Chiefs, win the Super Bowl. Josh Allen wins MVP, and you get 12 to 1 if you bet Josh Allen, which is something that I look forward to doing as soon as I get to New Jersey to do it legally, because you know I am a card-carrying member of the Bills
Mafia. He be getting a rushing touchdown.
Look at these numbers.
The rushing touchdowns.
Top six in all the stats that matter. And as you mentioned, he was second in rushing touchdowns last year, second only to Cam Newton, who you know they use on sneaks when they get close to the goal line. Josh Allen is going to be the MVP, and I can't wait to cash in on that wager. Mr. Rose, there's been an ongoing saga all summer long. This still hasn't come to a resolution. Of course, I'm talking about the relationship between Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. We all know how their season unceremoniously ended with a loss to the Hawks, and everybody blamed Ben Simmons. And then there was rumors that Ben Simmons didn't want to play there. And there were some potential trades that were out in the world, and Daryl Morey was getting on the phone. But what is next in this relationship between Sixers and Simmons?
He ultimately gets moved, but the tricky chess piece is this. Do you show up at training camp or not? And you talked about how he struggled against the Hawks and they lost. When they re-signed Joel Embiid this offseason, I'm pretty sure they discussed the future of Ben Simmons with him. And he was comfortable enough with that and the dollar figure to remain with the team. However, you don't help your value when you have zeros in the fourth quarter in the playoff games, when you have single-digit scoring, and you're a guy that doesn't attempt shots outside of the paint. However, off the top of my head, I think Ben Simmons would probably be the best player on like six or seven teams in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
That's how good he is. So if you want to get true value in your Philadelphia, I would deem that you will hope he shows up at training camp in shape, which he's going to be, play well to start the season, increase his value, and then you move him. If you try to move him after that playoff performance and or you try to move him and he doesn't show up at training camp, you're definitely not going to get, you're certainly not going to get somewhat of equal value.
Well, what they're saying is now the Cavaliers are potentially interested and the Timberwolves are potentially interested. And when you look at these odds, you see the 76ers, they're about seventh for Caesars Sportsbook to win the championship. And I don't see Ben Simmons staying on this team. However, I'm going to stand on a table and say Ben Simmons is a fantastic, excellent all-star basketball player who's being undervalued. He's the second, highest vote getter for defensive player of the year. Again, the second highest vote getter for defensive player of the year. You know I love fancy passes. He's one of the best passers in the league, the 6'10 point guard. If I'm another team and I'm seeing his value slip, I'm putting together a package and putting Ben Simmons in my uniform. I don't care if he can shoot. I don't care if he doesn't show up in fourth quarter playoff games. He's one of the best players in the league, and his name is being slandered, but not here on Jalen and Jacoby.
We got your back, Ben. No doubt about it. I agree with you, family.
Jalen, it is time for the always dangerous Don't Get Fired topic of the day.
And now, the Don't Get Fired topic of the day.
Jalen Rose, are you familiar with the soccer team, the Nachschmalmenstaff?
No.
The Nachschmalmenstaff?
Never heard of them.
Well, I probably said that wrong because it's German. But in Germany, there is a soccer club, consists of both men and women, and they play their games naked. Mr. Rose, are they now your favorite soccer team?
This is definitely a boss move. And by the way, we need to go to a game, dog. You know, I want to petition something. The fans should also be required to be naked.
How everybody should be naked.
Everybody should be naked.
Everybody naked.
The ushers, the ref, the security.
Yeah, the people selling the beer. Everybody should be naked. It is Oktoberfest, Mr. Rose. I propose a road trip to Germany to watch the Nachschmalmenstaff and to have some Steiners full of beer.
England,
let's do that,
Germany,
Mr. Rose.
Look France, forward to and that. Japan. Hey.
I also look forward to our next guest, Jalen Rose, who is joining us on the program right after this very short break.
Lehigh's finest,
Portland Trailblazing shooting guard CJ McCollum joins Jalen and Jacoby next. Coming to you live from the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, who's joining us right now on the program?
Sharpshooter CJ McCollum is joining the program. This gentleman I got a chance to see up close and personal when Lehigh came to Holy Cross. He made and put hours on my life when 15-seeded Lehigh upended Duke. And now he's in the league averaging 25 points per game and shining like new money. Welcome to the program, family. As you see the throwback clip from 8 years ago.
I appreciate you having me on, man. Thank you.
Well, you guys have some changes in Portland, most notably a new head coach. What have you discussed with Chauncey Billups about a new direction?
We just been talking about the importance of camaraderie, obviously chemistry. Dame and I haven't played together for so long. We understand, you know, how to kind of coexist together, but it's just more so about focusing in on the defensive end. We've been a top five, top 10 offensive team for basically all our career. And now it's time to kind of focus our attention on that side of the ball to kind of make some more strides and try to make a run this season.
I believe you guys going to love playing for Chauncey. Just like Monty Williams, I believe Willie Green with the Pelicans as well are going to do a great job a la Tyronn Lue. With that being said, you've been in trade rumors a lot over the past couple of seasons. How have you been dealing with that?
I think the same way I always do, man. I control what I can control. Continue to work on my game. Continue to take advantage of my summers. Trying to improve. Spend time with my family and show up and do your job. It's going to be what it's going to be at the end of the day. I'm happy in my situation. I've been able to continue to figure out ways to improve and help us make the playoffs 8 straight years, 6 straight years as a starter. And I look forward to the challenge of trying to get back to the playoffs this upcoming season. But it's just noise to me. I can't really do nothing about it.
Well, you can't control what you can't control. And one thing you can't control is what the Lakers have done with their roster this offseason. What do you think about them adding Russell Westbrook, having 8 former All-Stars all on the same team in the same conference as you?
They reloaded, man. They reloaded. They brought in a lot of veterans. They brought in my guy, Melo. I think they'll be a solid team. But, you know, obviously a good starters, good backups. They have depth. They'll be able to allow Brown and AD and Russ and some of those guys to rest, you know, some games throughout the season, which is probably ideal. But it's going to be competitive. I got nothing but respect for the rest of the league, especially the Lakers. It's going to be competitive, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how everyone has improved this upcoming season.
Jalen and Jacoby doesn't hide the fact that we really root for the backcourt in Portland that we affectionately call Mama's Boys, because I'm one too, and you and Dame. He just recently got married. What was it like being at Dame's wedding?
It was really cool being at the wedding. So many people that you either play with or, you know, compete against. And then you had the concert, obviously. It was a beautiful union. I was thankful for the invite. Thankful I could be a part of those great times and those great memories. And he had Common, he had Snoop, he had Tevin Campbell, he had Blast, he performed. It was a vibe for sure. It was a movie, man. It was a movie.
Wait, what was this? What was this move, CJ? What was that one?
Little chicken wing.
That's that. Too many old fashions.
It's a great jacket, though. So, CJ, I'm a little concerned about your upcoming season for you, and let me tell you why. You announced that you are soon to be a father. Are you prepared to balance the sleepless nights, the diaper changes, and everything that comes with that with the rigor of an NBA season?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Man, my brother has a 1-year-old. I've seen, you know, what having a kid does to you from a family standpoint to a mental standpoint. It's kind of everything you kind of envision, especially when you're able to have a son. So I'm really looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be tough. My wife, she's going to have her hands full, but we got a lot of help. And we got a lot of family that'll help us kind of get through the beginning stages. But this will be the best year of my life.
CJ, as Midwest boys, we have an NFL kinship. The Browns and the Lions have both gone winless.
in NFL season. Your Browns have vastly improved. How are they going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs to start the season?
Oh, I'm a realistic Browns fan. I think we definitely can beat them, but I'm more so looking at how we come out. First game of the year, you know, we're healthy. We got everybody back. We've got some improvements, obviously, within our roster and some internal development, but this is just kind of a measuring stick to see where we're at and where we need to be towards the end of the season. So I expect it to be a competitive game. Win or lose, I'm going to be happy about it because I know we're going to compete and we're making strides towards a championship caliber team. But I think that we'll cover the spread for sure.
Well, we always say that success is a function of realistic expectations. What are your realistic expectations for the Portland Trail Blazers this season?
For the Portland Trail Blazers or for the Browns?
For the Portland Trail Blazers.
Oh, I was going to say for my Browns. You know, I'm looking at about 12 wins. For us, I think we'll be very competitive. I think that we'll continue to do what we've done historically, be great on offense. We'll have an improved defensive roster. We'll have some more creativity with fresh faces, obviously, in Chauncey and new staff. Bring in Larry Nance. We'll have Norman Powell for a full season. Obviously, I'll be better. Dame will be better. Anthony will be better. Cove. All the younger pieces that we have will have a chance now to kind of show their development. And I think that we'll be competing, you know, for a higher seed and get to the playoffs and see what happens. But health is what's really important in all sports, especially basketball. So we got to stay healthy. We got Nurk, obviously, you know, he'll be here from the beginning of the season. And that'll be a key piece for our roster with him kind of holding things down in the middle.
I want to ask about the progression of your game into a prolific scorer. In particular, before last season, you didn't shoot as many threes. Now it seems like you're not only taking and making more threes, but they seem comfortable to you. Talk about that evolution in your game.
Me, I just kind of sat down and figured out how I could kind of win within the margins, you know, make small incremental changes to my game, understanding that I am who I am as a player. I think ball handling, being able to score, being able to get to the basket and create is extremely important, but also being able to shoot threes off the bounce is kind of the separator between good to great. And I wanted to kind of improve that. And I think I did this last season. Obviously, I got hurt and that kind of threw me off for a bit, but I think I've increased my range. I've increased my strength, my balance, my core. My trunk, everything is a little bit stronger, and it makes the game easier because you can get in and out of your moves faster, and when they have to come out and guard you further out, it's easier to get around them and get to the midi.
What do you have going on with Lace Clips and Mikey Williams?
Yeah, I'm excited about this partnership with Lace Clips. It's a wearable technology device that kind of allows you to track movement, track your steps, track your RPM, your heart rate, things of that nature. And it allows you to compare with friends. And I think what's dope about Mikey being a part of this is that this is something I wish I had in high school, something I wish I had when my brother and I were younger kids, because we can not only compare to our friends, but we can compare to see where we stack up against professional athletes. And I think there's nothing like this device in the market, especially for our younger generation of people who kind of, you know, look up to professional athletes. And I think this is going to be a separator and a game changer. And there's also going to be some, you know, video components to it, as well as tracking devices for parents who want to know where their kids are at on the low.
Definitely need that. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Appreciate
and
the love,
we look forward
CJ.
To watching you be successful this season.
Thank you guys for having me, man. Come out to Portland. I'll take good care of y'all.
Done and done. We'll be back right after this. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, the Lynx take on the Aces in Vegas. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, thousands have been affected by Hurricane Ida. Urgently need your support. You can donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond to this tragic disaster. Jalen, I've seen some strange things at baseball games, but this Marlins game, behind home plate, there was a Cinnamon Toast Crunch mascot. I've got little kids. We eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch all the time. What would you do if you're the pitcher and this thing is behind home plate? And what would you do if it sits in front of you?
That's a boss move. It's taking up a lot of space, however.
People sitting behind you will be upset. As a tall person, I've been in that situation. Mm-hmm. However, that's really smart if you're trying to attract kids. How do your kids feel about that?
I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but I really love Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk. Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk is one of the best beverages on the planet.
Yep.
I want to thank CJ McCollum for coming through. We will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We are joined by CJ McCollum, and CJ, I'm going to tell you a story about that 2013 shoot that we did called the NBA Job Interview at the Combine. You walked in the room, you shook everybody's hand, you were super sweet to everybody, and you said you wanted to be in media one day. You were looking around the cameras and the mics and the way that everything worked, and I looked at this young man and I said, he's going to take our job one day. He's going to take our job one day. And now you have the Pull Up podcast. Do you have designs on joining the media when your long, long NBA career is over?
I've definitely considered it. I've kind of built my resume towards that. You know, obviously being in the podcast realm, doing TV, I've done some ESPN. I've done some stuff with Turner. I've written. I'm very comfortable in all phases of it. I think that it's something I'll definitely consider, but as we all know, life kind of changes and evolves as you get older, especially once you retire. You kind of create a family, you try to create a legacy, and I have my hands in a lot of different areas. So it'll be something that I have to talk about with my wife and my kid or kids at that point in life. And depending on the location and the flexibility, it's something that I'll definitely consider. But flexibility is very important to me.
It don't pay like the league. I guarantee you that. Keep getting them checks as long as you can. I promise. But I want to ask you something really important. So Nas just dropped something new. West Side Gun just dropped something new. Kanye, Drake. What are you listening to and what do you think about these new projects?
I'm listening to everything right now. Obviously the Drake stuff is super hot. I'm a big Nas fan, so whenever Nas drops a project, I'm looking forward to that. His wordplay, the swag, the charisma, the delivery, everything there. And he got that mature flow, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of gravitate towards that. There's a lot of younger up-and-coming rappers that, you know, I've been exposed to and been listening to, some Jersey rappers, some New York rappers. I'm a big Cole fan. Cole is my guy, mm-hmm. so... Mm-hmm. Whenever he puts something out, I'm listening to it. And then I know that like Kendrick is on the way. There's a lot of music on the way that I'm looking forward to hearing. And Kendrick had a long wait. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm sad that Kanye took off Andre 3 Stacks on his
Me too.
On his album.
Me too.
Well, he said, well, Andre said that he didn't like the edited version. That's what he said. Andre said he recorded something, but they edited out the swears and he didn't like that. So apparently that's why he's not on the album. But I'm going to say what everyone's thinking. I can't listen to the Kanye album. I went on a long car ride. I listened to the whole thing front to back. There's like no drums in the whole thing. Like, dog, if I want to go to church, I'll go to church. That's just my opinion. If I want to go to church, I'll go to church. Moving on, you were elected to the NBAPA president this year. What was that process like, and how do you expect to move forward in that role?
I appreciate it. And the process was, you know, unique. Having been on the executive committee for 4 years, I was able to kind of be under Chris Paul, under Iguodala, Anthony Tolliver, Powell was on there. Like, you know, being able to be around all those guys, Garrett Temple, I think now Jaylen Brown's on there, Kyrie. I was able to kind of be around him, absorb, sit in meetings, kind of get a better understanding of, you know, where the league is at right now and where we're trying to go. So when CP kind of mentioned that he may be stepping down, it was a no-brainer for me, you know, based on what I'm trying to leave from a legacy standpoint, based on, you know, how much I care about our league, based on how much I care about the players that are going to come after me. I just want to leave them in a great spot, in a great situation. So I mean, the work has started long before this point. Meetings, calls, Zoom calls for days, figuring out this upcoming season, figuring out obviously the COVID protocol, you know, figuring out the situation for the BRI in the event that we have to lose games or miss games, obviously losing money at the doors. How do we grow the game from a partnership standpoint, from a relationship standpoint with Think 450 and, you know, us having our own rights. So just for me, it's just more about big picture stuff. You know, how do I continue to take care of our players? How do I continue to unite, you know, the ownership groups, the fans together, and make this game more beautiful, and then also generate more income for players off the court. Because like you said before, the career doesn't last this long, you know, not for everybody, at least, you know, average four and a half years. You know, guys are losing money, you know, 5 to 10 years after retirement, the income and the flow is not the same. So how do I help guys generate, you know, long-term income? How do I get them equity in certain companies? How do I get us to potentially be able to invest, you know, alongside ownership groups? Those are the things I'm kind of thinking about to kind of grow the game, but also help guys financially.
Isaiah Thomas, who also held that role at one point, is extremely happy that you're in that role. I am too. But however, I need the NBA this year to be more like the WNBA and make sure everybody's vaccinated. Unlike the NFL, that we know COVID is gonna have a huge effect on their season. Is your goal to make sure all of the players, coaches, and staff members are fully vaccinated?
You put me on the spot. That's a good one. I mean, for me personally, I think unless you have a medical reason or religious reason, you know, I think that you should get vaccinated. I think it makes the most sense based on the studies, based on the research, based on the type of damage, long-term effects of COVID, based on what it could do to your families, you know, your elder family members. I think, well, with all those things in mind, it would make sense for, you know, as many people to be vaccinated as possible. I mean, for our team personally, I can only speak to our team because I can't speak on behalf of the rest of the league. But, you know, I would like to see our entire team be vaccinated, and we are on pace to do that by the start of training camp, which is nice, or by the start of our first preseason game, because we got some players that got drafted. But that's where I would like to see it. Obviously, you know, we're a union, and we have to do what's best for all players. We have to do what's best for all players' families and the game of basketball. With that in mind, I would like to see, you know, as many people as possible get vaccinated. But at the end of the day, we have to agree upon that, and the players have to be on board with it, and the ownership groups have to be on board with it, and we have to kind of bring that together. So I can't always do what I think is best for me. I have to do what's best for the whole, and we'll talk about it. But obviously I'll tell them, like, you know, in a perfect world, everybody is vaccinated and our chances of finishing the season increase greatly, which means you guys' chances and my chance of, you know, securing, you know, all of our guaranteed money increases, mm-hmm. which means, you know, our families, our neighborhoods, mm-hmm. our arena workers, our staff, everyone gets to see, you know, the benefits of hard work and sacrifice, because mm-hmm. that's what this season is going to be with COVID.
Wow, you see, he's like, you put me on the spot. He paused for a second, and then you see the smooth answer. This dude is a politician. Forget joining us in the media.
He's a president.
Be a CEO of a company or something. Look at that. So you mentioned the staff, and you're an NBA star, and there's so many people behind the scenes that help you, that rebound for you, assistant coaches and the equipment people. And I just want you to know that that's going to be your role in the home now. You're about to have a child, so you're just going to be there to help. You know what I mean? He's going to be there to help your wife. What do you need? Are you hungry? You know what I mean? Because she's going to be doing, especially early on, like the real parenting. What are your sort of concerns and anxiety about this sort of coming child?
I love the baby sound. I think it's just the sleep, and it's just the freedom to just kind of move how you move. Like, we're used to going on vacations. You know, obviously we have a dog, but that's different. Now you got to kind of plan your life around your child. Like, your life revolves around them. Every decision you make, every move you make, when you leave the house, you're going to be thinking about them. Like, are they okay? Where are they at? Like, and I travel for a living, literally. So just that, like, thought process is going to be different. You know, when you try to plan a vacation, you try to go visit family, you know, now you got to have the car seat, or you got to have the diapers, you got to have, like, the baby kit. So I mm-hmm. think it's just, you know, revamping your mindset, but there's no way to, like, really prepare for it, because until you experience it, you truly don't understand it. So, like, being a full-time parent as opposed to babysitting is completely different. So it's just like a full-time job, really, on top of your full-time job, and it's the greatest challenge that the world has to offer, I think.
Jacoby's gonna always ask about the kids, because he got 15 of them at home. So that's why he's just checking on you. So I want to tap into your competitive spirit before we let you get out of here. I see you and Dame clearly as an elite backcourt. And I'm not saying that you have to say that you guys are the best or which backcourts in the league are the best, but acknowledge three of the top backcourts in your opinion in the NBA.
I'm trying to think of all the rosters. Well, you definitely...
You got what you got? You got Brother Kai, James.
Mm-hmm.
They like Super Saiyans. If you're into Dragon Ball Z, you got Steph and Clay eventually will be together. Well, Clay, whenever he comes back, and you know, you already know what type of time they're on. I'm trying to think who else.
You can put yourself in the top three. Don't be shy. I'm putting you guys in there.
Well, he said name three others, so that's a given. That's a given. Like, yeah, I don't know how many, besides Steph and Clay, I don't know how many teams been in the playoffs seven straight or eight straight years.
True.
It's hard to do. I don't even know. I can't even give you another one. This Boston doesn't count. They play like a forward, right? Like, they're like, one of them is a forward. So, yep. Like, that's like 2-3, I guess. Like, Jaylen kind of played a three. Or Jason Tatum, like 6'10", so he can't be a two guard.
Mm. You got Lowry and Butler coming together in Miami as well.
Lowry and Butler. So, that's nice.
CJ, thank you so much for coming out, taking the time to join us. Really appreciate
the love. See you when you come to Detroit. And we're going to try to get to Portland to come represent.
Yeah, just let me know, man. I'll send y'all to the right wineries. I'll take care of y'all.
That's love, man. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Sir. We always say we get the people that they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content. This is my favorite part of my day every single day when we just get to chop it up. All right. Number one, you have your $10,000 fantasy draft tonight.
It's
and
just
I asked
a
you,
fantasy.
What position do you draft in and what do you say?
Let me look. I want to make sure.
That's how rich you are. That's how rich you are.
Not
you don't even
true.
Know where you're drafting.
Not
you don't even
true.
Know where you're drafting in your $10,000 league.
Dog, let me tell you how this works. Our show goes off at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
From 2:31 to 8:30 p.m., I'm going to be locked into my war room getting ready for that draft. Yep. Trust me.
Okay.
I got this. And so I'm one of those people, if something's really serious, I take the time to lock in.
Oh, I know. Every year during the MVP vote and all the voting for award voting in the NBA, you take it very seriously. Very seriously. I get more texts and phone calls from Jaylen during that day than any other day of the year. Any other day of the year.
Yeah, let me find. I'm a text stalker to commissioner right now.
Text the commish. Text the commish.
We got the best commissioner.
You know what happened is the J&J League isn't happening this year. I don't know what kind of leadership problem we have, but you know what? I'm always going to look in the mirror. I asked us to have a league. I'm not going to step up and be the commissioner, but I'm just going to put it out there for anyone listening to this on the staff. I would love to have a J&J League. We're going to have to draft like now, but I want to have a league. I want to have a J&J League.
And you know what, too? Shout to all of the fans and supporters that's been with us since day one.
Shout out.
Jacoby came with a great idea to celebrate our 10 years, and we're going to do that next week. I bring that up because, like, playing fantasy is something we've always talked to the public about. We've shared with the public. I've always talked about the league, that type of thing. I just hope if you start 0-3, that you don't stop substituting your players.
So, I mean, listen, you don't always need a kicker. You know what I mean? Sometimes you score so many touchdowns, you don't need a kicker. You know? Sometimes you forget that your tight end is on a bye week and you decide to run a lot of spread sets, you know?
Because that hurts the fabric of the league.
That's just what happens.
That's just what happens. The integrity of the games. You know, you got Demetrius out here thinking he 2-0 in championships over me, but I got people like you in the league that mess with the integrity week to week by not updating your roster.
First of all, I never do that in week four. I wait till like week 12 to do that. You know what I mean? That's when I started paying attention.
And here's the other thing. How about we had a league 1 year? Then we have like two quarterbacks. That's when Reg got fired.
Yeah, like, then that we was had Reg. Like two... Yeah. We were like, huh?
He's like, I'm the commissioner. He's like, well, good point. You're the only person putting in work.
Right. Like, we had two quarterbacks. Like, I'm like, come on, man. This league is whack.
Yeah, but well.
I'm definitely excited about the J&J League. And as I acknowledge our 10 years in existence, it made me think of something, Jacoby, that makes me proud.
What's that?
What shows at ESPN have been on longer than us?
Oh, there's many.
Which ones?
PTI, Around the Horn, Highly Questionable, all the Ryan Holmes shows, Sports Center, NFL Live.
Hold on, no. Hit the brakes. Highly Questionable has not been on longer than us. That's not true. I remember when that show started. That show started when LeBron went to Miami. I remember. But go ahead and continue. That you talking about the radio show. I'm talking about the television show. We were on before that television show.
That's what you say.
No, for a fact. You can Google it right now.
Okay.
I say PTI, Around the Horn and Sports Center, the only shows that were on longer than us, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, they started before us.
Oh, they did?
Right around the same time as us. It says September 12, 2011, which is right when we'll be, so 10 years ago.
Same time. Yeah, we started
the same time as us.
Okay,
right
got it. Got it. Okay. So shout to our supporters. We appreciate the love. We definitely gonna have a J&J fantasy. I just text Adam Stalker, the greatest commissioner, and he told me log in to see your pick. I don't remember what it is off the top of my head.
He said you log in, dog.
Didn't email it around, but could check in 30. So he's a great commissioner. He don't deal with none of my BS.
Yeah, he's like, dog, you can log in yourself. Go ahead and figure that out. Well, my man Charlie at the Starbucks is very concerned about your fantasy team.
You gotta talk to him.
Charlie at Starbucks, he listens to the show every day. He's listening right now. Big shout out to Charlie.
Big shout out to Charlie.
He's like, you gotta talk to Jalen about his fantasy team. Cause you're talking about drafting all these Lions. You know, like that. That's not good for you. All right, Jalen, enough about your fantasy team, okay? You know what? I want to hear about it tomorrow on the pod, okay? But I don't need the daily updates. But I want to hear about it tomorrow on the pod. I want to see how you did, okay?
The rest of the world cares about gambling and betting, Jacoby.
They do, but here's one thing. People don't care about your fantasy team. People don't care about other people's fantasy teams.
That's not true.
People don't care about bad beats in Vegas. People care about gambling. They care a lot about gambling. But unless their fantasy team has the exact same roster as yours, they don't need the updates. I can just tell every Monday how you did in fantasy, just from your attitude. Because the Lions are gonna lose, so it's not like your attitude changes compared to the Lions win or lose. But I can tell just from your attitude on Monday how well your fantasy team did. Now, our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Greatness starts with a G. We love Gatorade. We love all of our sponsors. I'm a big Gatorade Zero guy. Had some fruit punch Gatorade Zero over the weekend. Mr. Rose.
Bam. Great room temperature Gatorade tastes like Kool-Aid.
Yep.
Why room temperature? I prefer everything cold. Room temperature is never a preference for me. Everything cold.
I prefer my water room temperature.
Really?
I do. And a lot of times my Gatorade or sports drink, because I can drink it faster. I can consume it easier when it's room temperature. When it's cold, I can't just take a bottle of water and drink the whole bottle nonstop. But if it's room temperature, I could do that.
I've seen you chug many a water bottle before the show. We do not have time to get to our voicemails, but we brought that up because we want you to call right now. 8-1, whoa.
Whoa, hit the brakes. Wow. 985-80-JALEN.
This had a Jalen moment. 985-80-JALEN. The same number that it's been for like 8 years. For like 8 years, it's been 985-80-JALEN. Call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on tomorrow's show. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people. We'll be right back.